another day. Another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream.
Hi, this is Jack Spierko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. As always, one man's view of the changing world and changing economic times and the things that we can do to live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't. Today is Friday, October 10th, 2008, and this should be episode 71 if my memory serves me correctly. And again, I'm pretty excited about that. I did announce the winner of the listener appreciation contest yesterday. I sent him an email, and I'm not going to name him today because I can't remember his exact name and I don't want to mispronounce it. But if you're wondering if it's you and you didn't listen yesterday, you may want to go do that. And again, the winner has until close of business Monday to claim his prize before I give it out to, we'll call it a runner-up. Today's show, I'm just going to talk about the state of affairs that we're in today. Not just the economy, but kind of the whole state and what we need to be thinking about as far as preparations and why we're in a vulnerable situation beyond just the fact that the stock market's tumbling. And hopefully today doesn't end up being another Black Friday, but it sure as hell could. The futures were down like over 200 points already before the market opened today when I looked at them. But what I'm doing right now, I'm sitting in my driveway, folks. I haven't actually left yet because I want to read something to you, and I can't read this on the road and be safe. This is a letter that was sent out yesterday by the Tarrant County Medical Society to, I imagine, many doctor's offices across the Tarrant County area. And it says, to office manager or managing physician from Tarrant County Medical Society Task Force on Pandemic Flu Preparedness. Before I go on, I want to indicate there's no indication here that there's any added threat. This looks more like we want to know what you're doing in case something happens. So, reading back into the letter. As you know, a pandemic is a global disease outbreak. An influenza pandemic occurs when a new influenza A virus emerges, for which there is little or no immunity in the human population. Begins to cause serious illness and then spreads easily person to person worldwide. We have not experienced a pandemic flu outbreak since 1968 through 69, but there is some concern the current environment is conducive for such an outbreak to occur. How well have you prepared for a flu pandemic? How well we have prepared for a flu pandemic will play a large role in how well we respond to it should one occur. To that end, the Pandemic Flu Task Force of Tarrant County Medical Society would like to know what, if any, preparations your office has made should a pandemic flu strike Tarrant County. To do that, we are sending the survey, page 2, which we would like you to complete and fax back to the Medical Society by October 24th, 2008. The survey is for informational purposes only in hope that we can better coordinate with our resources, knowing in advance who is planning to do what. Please complete the survey and fax it back to Debbie Adams at the Medical Society at a number I won't give. No cover sheet is needed. I can tell you that this survey wasn't returned, by the way. It was ignored. That should make you feel a little bit concerned overall. The survey is pretty simple. Name of the clinic or office, the address, phone number, fax number, email, website if you have one, number of providers by training, which is, you know, MDs and doctors of osteopath, you know, practitioners and nurse practitioners, nurses and medical techs. They want to know how big your staff is. Then there's just a couple questions. Do you have a written policy for what to do in the case of a flu crisis, yes or no? If yes, can you send us a copy, in parentheses, if you don't mind, close parentheses, so we can see what local offices are planning? If no, please continue with the survey. 2, what do you think, and think is in all capitals, you will do in response to pandemic flu? A, make no change in current practice schedule. B, limit patients to acute care only. C, temporarily close practice. D, modify current schedule to allow for more acute care and reduce routine follow-up. Or E, retire. This survey is for informational purposes only in hopes that we can better coordinate our resources, knowing in advance what to do, who is planning to do what. Please complete the survey, fax it back to Debbie Adams, blah, blah, blah. If you've already completed the survey, disregard this one. Thank you. Now, there's a couple things that we need to think about here. Number one, the Tarrant County Medical Society, among many others. This is not an isolated issue. I just happen to live in Tarrant County and know people in the medical field, so I was able to get my hands on that letter. But if you go to Google News and just search for flu pandemic, you'll see that stuff like this and drills and readiness assessments are being done all over the United States today. for a potential outbreak of pandemic flu. You know, some of the things, though, that kind of bother me with this is, you know, number one, they're saying, do you have a written plan? And if so, would you send it to us? I don't know if you're the Tarrant County Medical Society, if anybody knows anybody in that group out there, maybe you guys should put together a generic written plan and send it out to these offices, since many of them I know for a fact aren't even returning your survey, because they really have no flippin' idea whatsoever what they're going to do if this happens. They're basically going to sit on their hands and wait to be told what to do, like most people will. I think what most people don't understand is a lot of doctors are terrible business people. They really don't know how to run a business. If it wasn't for the fact that they're in a highly paid profession, they would never survive. If it wasn't for the fact that there's insurance companies today out the wazoo, and that there's Medicare and Medicaid out the wazoo to send them a guaranteed run of patients, they wouldn't survive. So since they don't know how to run a business, and all they know how to do is treat illness, prescribe medications, treat injuries, and do surgery, I mean, it's basically run tests. That's what doctors are trained to do. They're not trained on how to run a business. Since they're not trained on how to run a business, they're generally not trained on how to write operational plans. And what you're asking here for is an operational plan. And unless it's a large practice with a business manager in place, not just an office manager who is somebody with medical billing experience, who's probably an RN, unless they have somebody like that, they probably have no idea how to put one of these things together. So then they're left with going to the pandemicflu.gov site and seeing if they can pull stuff down and try to make it work. And most of them, frankly, are too damn busy to put it together. So what we have is a major medical society here, one that looks over the whole county saying, hey guys, what do you plan to do? And we know in at least some cases, all right, that the response is, I'm not even responding because I don't know. And why is that important? What does that have to do with the current situation, the stock market crash, and everything else? What I want to try to get people's head around today is that right now we're in a weakened state. I am not concerned that left to itself, if nothing else goes wrong right now, that the stock market's going to go down to like 1,100 points. Everybody's savings and retirement will be completely wiped out for all eternity, and 90% of the companies in America will close their doors, shut down operations, and we will go into something that makes the Great Depression look like a joke. I'm not concerned about that happening. Left onto itself. But there's an old saying that I've brought up before here, and that is, when it rains, it pours. And we all know what that means. And basically what happens is, once you are weakened, it's generally the time that other things, either because an enemy sees that you're weakened, or just because stuff happens that way, that something else that's even more disastrous or equally disastrous hits you. And while you could have withstood very well either one of them alone, all right, because believe it or not, we are withstanding the greatest drop in the history of the stock market since the Great Depression very well. And if you ask me how I mean very well, I want you to look around right now. If you listen to your car like a lot of people do, there are cars everywhere going to and from somewhere. Most of them are going to and from work. People still have jobs. Now, how long will they have jobs? We don't know. But the majority of people are still working. There is no civil unrest yet. Nobody's out in the streets. Nobody's marched on Washington and pulled those clowns out of the rotunda, though maybe we should. But nothing like that has happened. Martial law has not had to been declared. All right? Nobody's lined up around the corner trying to get money out of a bank that's closed. Nobody's kicking windows in on a bank because they won't let them in. If you go out right now and you go to a grocery store and you try to buy some food, it costs, we talked yesterday, it costs more than it did last year, but it's not astronomical. It's not something that most people in America today, even with a low-wage job, can afford to at least put food in their stomach. The people that are below the poverty line in this country generally own a vehicle and own two TVs and have a place to live. All right? It's not true in the rest of the world. So in spite of everything that's gone on in the past month, we've kind of, if you look around, we've kind of survived. The majority of the people that are still holding mutual funds and stocks that are severely declined in value now, the majority, are people that don't have any plans for that money for at least 10 years. Many people don't have any plans for at least 20 years. They're 30 years old, 40 years old, 25 years old. They're working. So everything seems okay. But people are scared. All right? People's emotions are peaked right now. And because of that, it won't take much from a secondary genuine threat or even the rumor of a secondary general threat, right, to create chaos. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say that going into the beginning of November, the stock market's sitting at like 6,400 points. All right? Don't freak out if it happens, because it probably freaking will. All right? And that's probably when I'm going to start buying. It's somewhere in the 6,000s is where I'm going to start buying some stocks, because, you know, these companies that have been in business forever that actually still make a profit, that are still paying dividends, they might have to downsize, they might have to lay people off, they might have to cut operational expenses, but if they've been making a profit up till now, and a real profit, not some fictitious, you know, BS voodoo, cooking the books profit, they're not going out of business, right? If their stock, it should be at 40 bucks and trading at 4, it's probably time to buy. So everything is okay right now. Like I've been telling you, the whole world is about to go on sale. But let's say in November we're sitting like that. People are panicked. Let's say the people go a little bit overboard and they start pulling out too much money. Let's say the government says, you know what? We're working on this stimulus thing. We're working on this buyout thing. You guys are going crazy. You're driving the market. We're going to shut the market down for a week. No stocks will trade for a week. All right? Now, will that be a catalyst to push people over the edge? Some old lady that wants her mutual funds cast in at that point that waited that long, freaking out, now I can't even get my money. Will her son go nuts and start burning buildings down? I don't know. I don't think so. But if in that environment, all of a sudden, popping up in some major eastern cities or western cities or anywhere in the United States or even Canada, a few cases of avian flu or some other mutated flu, because it's just the one we think is going to mutate. It could be any flu. And people and they announce this is a virulent and deadly strain of flu, and it is passing from human to human. And we need to start taking some basic quarantine measures now. My fear is if that happens in the middle of this, people will go nuts. Because, folks, I live in North Texas, all right? It doesn't snow here often. We get one or two snow or ice days a year if we're lucky. With Al Gore warming the planet up with his hot air, last year we only got one, all right? And when that happens, and you go to Kroger's or Albertsons or Tom Thumb or any of these stores in my neighborhood, The food is virtually stripped off the shelves in a day. And I don't mean it's completely empty, but, you know, things like bread, milk, and eggs, it's gone. And then, they bring these huge stacks of these boxes of these fire logs, which are I like them, but they're a tremendous rip-off over just natural wood that you can go out and cut yourself or whatever. But those are gone. Like, people are going to freeze to death in their homes, they think, and they go out and they buy these fire logs, and they buy milk, bread, cheese, eggs, and the basic stuff. And it's for, like, a dusting of snow. It's for a snowstorm that I live in Pennsylvania, nobody would have even thought about it. People would have went, oh, look, it's snowing, that's cool. Kids were not out and playing it. And here, because we're not accustomed to it, people freak out. All right? So, my point is that right now, the big danger is in this weakened state, something going on from the outside. And it's why you need to really start taking what you're doing seriously. All right? It's time, if you do not have a 30-day supply of food, to pull some money out of the bank where it's rotting away at 0.01% interest. Get the cash in your hand, go to Costco or Sam's Club or the local grocery store, and start picking stuff that you know you will eat, that stores well without refrigeration, and mainly because I'm not worried about the grid failing right now. Right? It could, but I'm not really worried about that. It's because I don't want you filling your refrigerator up to where you can't get anything in or out of it, right? Pick good quality stuff, and I heard people on the forum yesterday, I'm not really sure, do I use Mylar bags? Folks, look, the center of the grocery store is a survivalist friend. If it sits on a shelf in the grocery store, look at the expiration date. As long as you then store it somewhere where it's not likely to have like a mouse eat through the box and chew it up, it's probably good until that expiration date. So don't overthink these things. Don't make this too complicated. But get your ass 30 days worth of food right now. Because if we do have a flu pandemic this year, or if there's a rumor that we're going to have a flu pandemic, people will strip the stores bare. Individual pockets of martial law will probably have to be declared. We always talk about martial law like it's the government jackbooting us like Nazis. It can go that way. But many times the reason they declare martial law is they have to. Martial law is not to condemn you and me. It's to protect us from the pieces of crap out there that we know exist. Because what happens is as soon as chaos begins in a city, every piece of shit on the street decides it's time to grab a TV or a microwave or see if they can find a cash register they can jimmy open or whatever. And they figure as long as everybody's doing it, my odds of getting away with it are very high because I'm one of many versus one that's easy to identify. All right, so that's why. So if that happens, and it happens to happen in your area, and let's look at my area for instance. Let's just say it happens in Dallas. Now, I drive kind of through the outskirts of Dallas on the way to work. It's about halfway on my drive. It's like 25 miles from my house. All right. Dallas could burn to the ground. And my house, physically, would be largely unaffected. But the people around me would freak out and run to the grocery store. I'm telling you right now, it's what they always do. It's the one thing people know to do. Go get food. Go get food. Right? So that's going to happen. So then, if I wait till that occurs, now I've got to compete with them for what's left. Now, if that panic spreads, the stores have to do things like start rationing. Does that create localized riots? Who knows? All I know is the best thing for me to do in that situation would be to call all my employees and say, hey, I want you to do what you can to work from home for the next couple days. We're going to ride this thing out. Don't worry, you'll get paid. We'll talk on the phone. We'll get on the computer. We'll talk by instant message. I'll tell you what I want done. You get it done from the house as best you can. And let's just let this thing ride out. Now, if my house has only got 2 days worth of food in it, and I've got to do that for 3 or 4 weeks, sooner or later I got to go out there. When I leave my home, all right, in that situation, even if it's only a little bit dangerous, all right, even if it's only the couple guys hanging out in the parking lot looking at who they can pick off, all right, if it's the streets aren't burning, but things are, you know, people are hungry and they've used up their ration or they're out of money or what have you. If I have to go out in that environment, I'm taking a risk. Now, the problem with taking that risk is I am the person that takes care of my family. I'm responsible for them. So now I'm taking an unnecessary risk where I could be hurt and or killed, all right, to keep them fed. When all I had to do was make sure there was enough food to keep them fed, and our house was a pretty comfortable place. We could hang out there. All right? That's why I'm saying now you have to look around and you have to say, we are ratcheting up the DEFCON scale. And I got that thing backwards before. Yeah, I think the way it was presented to me is, I'm not even going to say it now because for some reason I'm screwing myself up on it. All I'm going to tell you this is on the alert scale, my alert scale for how dangerous things are, right? If it's 1 to 5 and 5 is the cities are on flames, I'm at 3. And I'm at 3 not because I think anything is imminent, but I think one more domino falls. And we start to go into a spiral. And then the only question is how fast, how long, and how far down. And we're in that weakened state now. Now, if nothing happens, what you'll see is a long, deep recession, according to Ben Bernanke. Now, the interesting thing is somebody posted this on the forum. They don't want to say it's a depression. Go to Wikipedia, look up depression, and you'll see that they define depression as a long, deep recession. So a long, deep recession is a depression. So we're in for a depression. That's from the Fed chairman. He doesn't want to say it that way, but that's what it means. But what you'll see is the market stabilizes. It won't keep. There's a point at which smart money says, gee, Jim, stock's $4. That's a pretty good sale. I'm going to go buy some GM stock. I bet you GM stock goes up from where it's at today because everybody talked about it. There's other gems out there like that, though, that not everybody's talking about it, right? So that's what's going to start happening. It's going to stabilize the market. It'll push it back up a little bit from wherever the bottom ends up. I just don't know where the bottom is. And then we'll go into something that'll probably look a lot like the 70s for a while. And if you know anybody that lived in the 70s, I did. We're all here. We all made it. It was kind of a tough time. It was kind of rough, but we all made it through. And eventually, the country put itself back together and began the rebuilding process. The key is, during the downspin, before we hit the bottom, it's the most weak point. It's the point with the most potential for one aggravating circumstance to send it into that spiral. And again, once you go into a spiral, the possibility of a death spiral is real. And that's where we get into a point where we really do see people burning cities, right? And it could happen. I don't get it. I don't get why it happens. I do not get why when a catastrophe happens, people start burning down buildings. It doesn't help them. They don't get food. It doesn't help them loot any better. It just destroys. But for some reason, there are people in our society that that's what they do. So it's what we need to be on guard for right now. There's two other threats that we need to be keenly aware of and watch for signs of. And if we start to see them, then we all need to up what we're doing a little bit. We need to, you know, kind of concentrate a little bit more on, you know, making that last push. Like, what we're all doing here, if we're smart, this is not a sprint. The preparations thing is not a sprint. It's a marathon, all right? But at some point in a marathon, you up the pace. Usually it's right near the very end. You see the finish line and you run for it. But this is like a marathon where at some point somebody can start taking shots at us. And then you up the pace and you get out of the race. Right? You give it one last burst of speed and you go off the side and you get out of the line of fire. So we need to be watching for these other things. And that is not the guy shooting at us. That's, you know, we're starting to see snipers taking up positions and we need to get ready. Maybe they're for us, maybe they're not. We don't know it yet. But it's time to start picking up the pace, right? It's time to create our own finish line and do whatever we need to do to get there. And these other two big threats are, one is a deep, cold winter this year. Right now, if global warming is real, man-made or otherwise, and I do believe the planet's gotten warmer, hopefully it's going to still be with us this year. Because a very cold winter this year would be a very bad thing for the nation. Because it's going to put more people in the positions where they have to make hard choices. The more fuel oil they have to burn, or the more they have to run the electric heat to keep the family from freezing, the more money comes out of their pockets and the less is left for everything else. And when people see that happening, at the same time that they're worried that they'll never even have this retirement they've worked their whole life for, they start to get antsy and they start to make dumb decisions. All right? So that's one. I don't know how dangerous that is. I don't know how big the effect that would be, but it's something we definitely need to look out for and at least pick up the pace a half step if it looks like we're going to get that. And when I say pick the pace up, I mean put a little more food in reserve. Put a little more cash in reserve. Make sure that your home is able to be defended. Have a plan. If you have a bug out plan, if you have a place to go, you do not bug out unless you have someplace to go. All right, you don't just start driving aimlessly down the road unless there's, you know, a threat that a nuclear bomb is going to go off in your city. Obviously, you just get the hell away. Right? But you should have a plan of where to go. So have a plan of where to go. Make sure you start reviewing your plans of how to get there, alternate routes. Every member of the family, if they're separated, where to get back together at, where to unite at, where to rendezvous, and where to proceed. All right, ways of communication. Start ramping these things up. Things that you're taking your time with right now. Don't freak out and not try to do it all in a week. So I'm saying, as you watch these things occur around you, these are the signs. A little bit faster, a little bit more seriously, a little bit more willing to spend the money to get them done, right? The other one is something we wouldn't see till spring, but it would be major weather events that cause serious damage to the already shortened crop supplies in the United States. All right, putting more pressure on the food supply. I can't believe it, but these idiots in our government are so stupid and so married to this ethanol idea, they haven't backed off it one bit. Several states, including Texas, have petitioned, let us off the hook with this. We can't do this right now. You're destroying the economy. You're destroying the food supply. This is not the time. And the government has said, thou shalt use thy ethanol. Period. All right, that's going to continue. That's already hurt the food supply. All right, because that's going to continue, the food supply remains depressed, and it'll take major, a few major weather events. Obviously, some things like we had this year, the flooding, major tornado outbreaks. But if there's something else, if we do get the bad winter and it runs longer and it keeps frost in areas that are not accustomed to it longer than normal, any kind of major climate shift, and a major is a couple degrees, all right? If there is any kind of rioting for other reasons, let's say that the illegals in Southern California have a kid die because he's waiting in an emergency room behind a line, by the way, of 48,000 other illegal aliens, and the illegal aliens snap out and start, you know, tearing down a hospital somewhere, that could spur riots elsewhere. All these things you need to be looking for right now. You need to be paying attention to. This is a time to start solidifying your relationships with other people that you think would be actually useful in a situation after a disaster happens that you can rely on, that you can depend on. You know, it's time to start looking for those relationships as well. If you have a bug out location, it's time to think about what would you have to do to get there. When would you go? How would it affect your employment? It's time to start thinking about all these things. On the flu, it's probably a good idea to go get your flu shot. I know some people in our community are really opposed to the whole immunization thing. Flu shots work. Now, here's the problem with a flu shot. Flu shot you'll get is not going to protect you from an eventual flu pandemic because that strain of flu doesn't exist yet. See, for a vaccine to be made, the strain of flu must exist. They take that strain of flu, and they use it to create antibodies for it, and then they inject you with something that triggers your body to produce those antibodies, all right? So basically, they take a dead strain of the flu, and they inject you with it. They give you the flu. Or they trick your body into believing that you have the flu is a better way to look at it. Your body then produces antibodies. It creates an immune system designed to kill and fight off this flu. In other words, your body has a method, a means of defense, where if you don't get the vaccine and the flu hits you, your body has to start figuring out how. And during that time that it's figuring out how to build the antibodies, it ravages your body and it sets in deeply. See, even with the antibodies in your system, the antibodies do not completely prevent the disease. They keep it from becoming too much for your body to control and fight off. They suppress it in its early stages, all right? Once it's entracted in your body, it's almost impossible for your antibodies to completely fight it off on its own. It takes a long time, and other systems are affected, and hopefully it doesn't kill you, and eventually you survive. Then you have some or complete, depending on what disease it is, immunity to that particular virus or strain of virus, because now the antibodies are in your system. Now your body knows what to do with it. So when you get your flu shot this year, all it's preventing is the flus that already exist. The newest flus that they think are most likely to spread. So why get one about the pandemic? Because if you get a type of influenza and it weakens your immune system, you're now more susceptible to the more severe type of influenza. You're also spreading it to your family. All right, so get your flu shots. It's important. Good sanitary things, wash your hands, etc. All right? It's just important because all these diseases spread. It may be a good idea to go out and pick up some masks. And the very fine low micron dust masks that are available are actually quite good at preventing the inhalation of flu viruses. Now, don't start walking around with one on. You're going to look like an idiot. All right? But having a few dozen of them packed away, and they're cheap. Right? Having a few dozen of these things packed away in a case at home, so if you get into the early stages of this and you have to make that last run out the door, you have to go get a relative and bring them home, you have a means of defense, good idea to do. So all of these things are things that we should be doing anyway. And I hope today's show doesn't panic anybody. I'm not looking to panic anybody here. I'm just looking to create an awareness of the situation that we're dealing with and how the situation itself isn't the threat. It's the piling on of other situations. Because what you have to look at is, okay, the market's in deep crap. But the market hits the bottom sooner or later. It has to. It hits a point where people go, that stock's too cheap. I'm going to start buying some. Because right now, the reason these stocks are dropping at this point, they've fallen through the floor of intrinsic value. These companies, most of them, I mean, there's some screwed companies, we all know that. But most of these companies that have been paying dividends and making a profit, they've passed the floor of what they're actually worth. The reason they continue to drop is people continue to take their money out, And there's not a lot of people on the other side looking to buy. So that's so it's just a supply and demand issue driving the stock price down right now. Are you looking to buy stock right now? I'm not yet. You're probably not yet either. So if somebody's looking to sell, there has to be somebody to buy, and they have to agree upon a price. That's how the market works. So sooner or later, there's a point at which the people that have taken their money out, the smart people, the big money people, go, yeah, I'm about to buy me a million shares of General Motors at $3.75 if it happens to go to that or whatever it is. Because they know. They know as soon as the hiccup of recovery comes, they're going to make a huge profit, just like that. But if these other things occur, then that starts driving the market down even worse. People get sick, they get scared, they start pulling more of their money out. People start cashing 401ks in early, paying the penalties in retirement. They just want money, they have to have it. People get, you know, close to being evicted from their homes. They do whatever they can to stay in their homes. All these things would continue to suppress the market and the economy even further. So the problem with having two disasters, and this is a disaster. This thing on Wall Street today is a disaster. So think about like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita, Hurricane Ike. What would have happened if, while they were trying to clean that up, somebody went in there and set off a dirty bomb in the middle of it, right? That would have just basically destroyed the area. Everybody would have just had to leave and say, you know what, it's done for now. We can't fix it right now. It's totally screwed now. We can't go in and fix the damage from the storm because there's radiation. We're going to have to let it all filter out and bottom completely. It's a wasteland for a couple years. Well, it's kind of like that. If we have this economic depression, whether they'll tell you that's what it is or not, and a flu pandemic hits, and it's like dropping a dirty bomb in the middle of a hurricane sacked area, it just destroys it. So that's our risk today. So again, don't freak out about that. You know, that's why you listen to this show. That's why you take preparations in your own home and your own life. That's why you're aware. That's why you're informed. And that's why you've taken a stance that what you do matters. Civilization is not going away. Society is not going away. All right? Even if the electrical grid failed and all the computers shut down, we would endure. We would survive. There's ways to do it. Hey, if I have to, I'll eat blackbirds. They seem to be plentiful, right? I mean, I'm not, a couple of years from having to do that, right? But if I have to, I will. I'll survive. I'll make it. I'll do what I have to do to survive. And so will you. And because of that, this may be the opportunity to rebuild our country. All right. My fear is we're going to get a socialist in the White House, and he's going to rebuild it the way FDR did and take us forward towards socialism. But if it doesn't work for him, if what he does fails, or if we're lucky and he doesn't get in, and people really snap out over the next 2 years, and then in the next midterm elections, we clean out this Congress and Senate. And I don't mean we clean out the Democrats. I don't mean we clean out the Republicans. I mean we clean them all out. We flip the Congress over completely, and we flip a third of the Senate over. That happens, we may start to take our nation back. We may start to realize how this fractional reserve banking system and this Federal Reserve system have completely shit-canned our economy right now. How we're in a $53 trillion hole with Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, just like the former comptroller David Walker says we are. We may all get our heads around this thing, and we may all realize that the brilliance of America is our ability to do things, our ability to produce, the natural resources that we have. We may start going back to land. People may start living within their means. And we may see the greatest recovery on the history of the planet in our country in the next couple years, or the next 5 years, or the next 6 years. But it not only could, it's the most logical result as long as one of these other compounding factors doesn't happen. And even if they do, all it does is it lengthens the time to that return. So again, look forward with optimism and hope for your family individually, for you individually. Realize again, the whole world's going to go on sale. The whole world's going to go on sale. Stick with your job as long as it lasts. I would still say continue to look for secondary income streams. Figure out a way to solidify your finances. Cut your expenses to the bone. All right? make Christmas lean this year, but make it about family. It's going to start. I'm already hearing it. That we need people to go out and spend money. We don't have a good Christmas with the retailers. Everything's going to get worse. Well, if you go out and have a good Christmas for the retailers, everything's going to get worse for you because you're going to have more debt. You're going to have less money. And you don't need a big Christmas. What you need is your family to realize that each other are what matters. Have a big potluck party. Everybody put together one or two things. Bring them over to one member's house. Sit around. Tell Christmas stories. If you're religious, pray together. Sing hymns together. If you're not religious, just sing good old-fashioned Christmas carols. All right? If you're of another faith that doesn't celebrate Christmas, you know, I think everybody has something around that time of year. Right? The Jewish folks have Hanukkah. I think the Muslim people have Ramadan. If you're of those faiths, take the approach. You know, stay traditional. Traditional was never maxing out your Macy's card or your Kohl's card or your Visa card or your MasterCard. Traditional was getting as many people together under one roof as possible, sharing meals, sharing stories, and try not to fight with each other. Because that's what usually happens to these things, right? Do the same thing with Thanksgiving. All right. If you have to buy gifts for each other, do what we do. Everybody pick a name at Thanksgiving. So everybody in the family buys a gift for one other member in the family to minimize the cost if you have a big extended family, aunts, uncles, and stuff like that. All right. Consider buying the kids a couple coins. You know, a silver eagle and a 50-cent piece. All right. I'm not talking about your kids. You know, don't skip out too much on your kids. Right. Your person. I'm talking about your nieces, your nephews, grandchildren, stuff like that. Cut back a little bit this year. It's okay to do, right? They'll get over it, all right? They care more about you spending time with them and you loving them than they do about material goods. The problem that our kids have is that we've taught them that the material goods equal that love and that time and that attention. Well, you know what? It'll take them about 15 minutes to adjust as soon as they realize they're getting real love, real attention, and real time. So be prepared for the onslaught. Be prepared for more advertising and more guilt-laden crap from the press and from the media about needing to spend dollars this year than you've ever seen before. Don't fall for it. There's a couple thousand people listening to this show. If every one of you bought nothing for Christmas, it's not going to affect our economy, right? You're not enough by yourself. Keep your head. Stay close to each other. Form relationships, form bonds, and keep preparing. Always keep believing in that vision of that better life for you and the people around you. Learn to do more with less. And when things get better, they'll be a lot better for you than they will be for the people around you. Hope this show's been informative. I hope it's made you think. Once again, this has been Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast, helping you figure out how to live that better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.